The Death Guard are the greatest champions of the plague god, Grandfather Nurgle, his favored spreaders of his bounteous gifts. Look upon them and see the signs. Pus seeping from festering wounds that never heal. Miasmic smogs of corrosive, stinking gas hanging thickly in the air wherever Nurgle's chosen tread. The wriggling, lamprey-mouthed tick leeches that clamp on to their rotting flesh. The droning billions of plague flies swarm the battlefields they stalk, and the ships in which they course through the stars. See them stride through their foes' defenses, impervious to incoming fire. Hear them gurgle and retch their praises to the Lord of Decay as they hack heavy, envenomed blades through those that stand against them. Breathe deep of the lung-clogging pollutants pumped from their flesh-fueled power packs. See how their enemies recoil in their mere presence, writhing, vomiting, hacking, coughing, screaming, contorting. See how the foe's flesh is liquefied by the toxic ooze in which the Death Guard drench them. See how their armor bubbles and melts. How eagerly they are followed by ragged mortal masses, desperate for but a sliver of their gifts. How blessed are they who have bound to their will the malady-infested demon engines that hunger so much for the flesh of mortals, and to feast on rot and decay and mud and maggots. Truly, they are the great corruptors most blessed. Nurgle's Legion. From their earliest days, those with the gene seed of Mortarion were renowned for their endurance and self-reliance. And those few with access to the most secret Terran archives know of the brutal victories won by the Death Guard during the Great Crusade. But none could have predicted the grisly fate and terrible fall that awaited this once loyal legion of the Emperor. After reunification with Mortarion, the Death Guard fought tirelessly in the Great Crusade, pursuing what they saw as the liberation of mankind with incredible fervor. They never paused, taking resupply and reinforcements on the move. They never raised fortresses or left garrisons in their wake. They only destroyed and slew. The Death Guard were perfect infantrymen, deadly in boarding actions, trench warfare, and storming enemy bastions. The world on which Mortarion had grown from infancy, barbarous, had been ruled by despotic alien overlords. It was his deep hatred of these creatures that led him to have his legion hurl down tyrants wherever they found them. It was not just their tyrannical nature that Mortarion despised. It was also the psychic powers of these overlords, which they used to torment and torture his people. Mortarion was to ever after loathe psychers, and he brought that prejudice to his legion's ranks. Those of his gene sons with such powers were expected to suppress them on pain of disgrace, exile, or even death. The very existence of psychic power Mortarion rationalized through his obsession with arcane pseudosciences. Mortarion was among the first of the Primarchs to turn against the Emperor and side with Horus. Most of his legion's actions during that immense war are long forgotten, and those that remain within memory either exist only in the half-deranged minds of millennia-old Death Guard warriors, or locked deep within the most silent and secure of the Imperium's archives. They are out of sight, out of reach, and out of mind for almost all Imperial citizens, and even those with permission to read them do not know to look. Among those who have fought the Death Guard in the 41st millennia will have little idea the Horus Heresy ever happened. And to them, even the idea of such a thing happening is heretical nonsense. Those who have some idea of what happened, perhaps of the Adeptus Custodes and Adeptus Astartes, harbor a deep hatred for all the traitor legions, as strong for the Death Guard as any other. The Death Guard were destined to play a role in the Siege of Terra, the final battle of Horus's rebellion that set the galaxy itself aflame. But their eventual part was not the one they had imagined. On the route to Terra, with the goal of being among the first to assault the Throne World's defenses, the Death Guard fleet was abruptly halted and trapped in a terrible warp storm. Mortarion's first captain, Callus Typhon, who was later to become Typhus, had the fleet's astropaths put to the sword. He had leaned on his Primarch's disdain for psychers to have these vital individuals slaughtered, without whom Imperial ships could not navigate the Immaterium. He claimed he could lead the fleet through the warp in their stead. He lied. So was the Death Guard fleet becalmed, trapped in the warp. And when every soul aboard its mighty ships of war was helpless, the Destroyer Plague came. The Legion would never be the same. The Death Guard were a legion renowned for their peerless endurance and willingness to wage unremitting war in the most unforgiving conditions. They had won conflicts in zones drenched with radiation that would burn an unaugmented human alive. On worlds with atmospheres so thick with pollution that respirators issued to the massed Imperial soldiery would clog in seconds. And even on worlds where vile alien infections had slaughtered millions of Imperial citizens in months. But even the Death Guard were helpless before the Destroyer Plague. It churned their organs and distended their post-human forms. They were agonizingly transformed into pustule-riven grotesques. Any semblance of the stoic warriors they had been was scoured away by the disease and replaced with claws, spikes, tentacles, and bloated flab. Scabs, boils, and growths sprung from their flesh. Their armor burst due to their body's rapid expansions, and its white plate turned the colors of rot and decay and corruption. It was forever stained. Even the Death Guard's weapons were affected, becoming encrusted with rust and oozing pus and other foul effluvia. The warriors of the Legion grew more and more sick, but could not die no matter what pain, misery, and humiliation they suffered in the clutches of the Destroyer Plague. Mortarion suffered worse than any other. What humiliation, pain, horror, and dread befell Mortarion at that time, none will ever know but he. Such was the agony, however, that he broke. He begged for deliverance from his suffering, offering his soul and those of all his gene sons. Nurgle, the father of disease, answered his desperate prayers and claimed the Death Guard. Though saved from the ravages of the Destroyer Plague, they were left physically changed forever. Even their battle tanks, kept in the ship's holds, became putrid vessels of decay and disease, as if the plague god had claimed even their machine spirits for his own. Some of the Death Guard embraced their transformation, praising the deity that granted them his favor, and believing that they had proven themselves worthy of his patronage. Some were driven mad, becoming a full deranged glee or morose misery. Others hated the changes that had befallen them, seeing it as a weakness, perhaps even feeling a tinge of regret for the acts of treachery they had committed to bring them this terrible moment. Regardless, all were now servants of Nurgle forever. Mortarion. Mortarion is the master of the Death Guard and the demon primarch of Nurgle. He is the dread liberator of Barbarus and the Pale King. He has crushed his enemies for 10,000 years, and his shadow looms large over the galaxy. Mortarion is fear, death, and plague made manifest. This ancient and festering monster wears the Barbarian plate, baroque armor of his own design. He drones across the battlefield on huge, groaning wings. With a bitter malice, he wields silence, a fearsome, powerful scythe, and lantern, an energy pistol of mysterious Xenos origin. The toxic miasma is so thick about him, many of his enemies choked death on it. Accompanying him, always, are flocks of chittering demon mites and droning flies. He is the very thing of nightmares, but was not always this horrifying being. As with the other 19 Primarchs created by the Emperor, Mortarion was ripped from Terra in his incubation and scattered to a faraway planet. It was his terrible misfortune to land on Barbarus, a barren, mountainous world driven by flesh-searing pollution that grew with deadly intensity the higher one climbed. Its human population was physically stunted, scattered, and technologically underdeveloped. Worse, they were prey and playthings to the monstrous Xenos overlords who held the world in dominion. These creatures were necromantic horrors, versed in the arts of undeath, and led enormous armies of stolen humans transformed into walking dead and mutant flesh hulks by fell sorcery. Mortarion was adopted by the most powerful of these overlords, and under the tutelage of his alien father, he learned all he could of war and technology. For years, he studied in a keep as high in the polluted atmosphere as his enhanced physiology would allow. For many more years, he led the Overlord's armies in war against the helpless humans in the world's valleys. Before he realized the terrible truth, the pathetic creatures were his own species. Few now live who know of the rebellion that Mortarion later instigated against Barbarus's overlords, and the records that document it have long been suppressed or destroyed. Through earlier victories, Mortarion earned the trust of the people, eventually raising an army. The finest of his soldiery he called his Death Guard. He clad them in heavy armor designed to shield them from the corrosive pollutions that hung thickest around the highest mountains. One by one, he slew the vile and petty despots that claimed Barbarus and oppressed its people. And his followers toppled the monster's keeps. It was during Mortarion's final battle that the Emperor finally arrived to reclaim his long-lost son. The last stronghold to fall was that of Mortarion's adopted father. So high that even a Primarch could not survive long in the toxic atmosphere. The Emperor himself delivered the death blow to the tyrant, ensuring victory, but taking Mortarion's revenge. It was perhaps as early as this that the seed of rebellion was planted in Mortarion's heart, and bitterness and enmity began to fester within him. Mortarion has all the demigod-like power of a Primarch, imbued in him by the Emperor himself from the moment of his creation. His intellect is utterly formidable, enhanced by 10,000 years of studying Nurgle's ways and experience of constant war. He was always renowned for his incredible abilities as a general of infantry, and he retains this news to this day. He oversees vast campaigns that span systems and finds the most direct route to the most crushing victory. He cares little for the losses his forces suffer, for the strong must always prove themselves. The galaxy is full of the afflicted, desperate to be raised up and out of their misery. And these make for able replacements. Though his power on occasion leads him to underestimate some foes, few can challenge Mortarion's military might, or the overwhelming power of the inexorable armies at his command. Typhus. Master of the Terminus Est, the Traveler, Herald of Nurgle, first captain of the Death Guard. Typhus is all of these and more. He is a master strategist, a deadly warrior, a powerful sorcerer, and the most feared of all of the Death Guard's plague fleet commanders. That he is favored especially by Nurgle is little doubted by his legion brethren. His origins dating back to the time before the Horus Heresy, there are few in the Death Guard with Typhus's iron will, stamina, and rugged military skill. He outlasted all other candidates in the Toxin Trials and Marathon Endurance Contest Legion aspirants were subjected to. Though he nurtured his own psychic potential before joining the Death Guard and aspired to become an apostolary of the Legion, he suppressed his natural talents in line with Mortarion's wishes when the Primarch disbanded the Death Guard's Librarius early in the Legion's history. When the Death Guard were trapped in the warp en route to Terra, and all were subject to the horrors of the Destroyer Plague, Typhus absorbed the full power of the disease. He is now a walking incubation chamber for one of Nurgle's most deadly viruses, and some believe his body has long since been consumed by it, his armor animated by some combination of Typhus's intractable will and the pestilence itself. Whatever the truth, the act of taking the disease within himself swelled Typhus's body enormously in size. His armor was fused shut, and pestilential funnels sprouted from his frame, spewing out a hideous, choking miasma. Typhus became host of the Destroyer Hive in that moment. Now, to even stand in his presence is to be subject to agonizing maladies, predatory viruses, and lung-rotting infections inflicted by the horrible plague insects that inhabit the Destroyer Hive. After the Legion's retreat into the Eye of Terror, Mortarion began forming the plague planet into a hideous new Barbarus. Typhus dismissed the act as sentimental and was disgusted, believing the Death Guard should be spreading Nurgle's gifts throughout the galaxy, not brooding in the Eye of Terror. Taking the Terminus Est and a host of warriors with him, he pushed out into the galaxy. Despite never allowing subordination in his ranks, Mortarion did not pursue his first captain. Mortarion and Typhus worked together on occasion, though only if such an act is mutually beneficial. It says much of Typhus's strength of character that he can attain this kind of relationship with a being as powerful as a Primarch. Many speculate as to why Mortarion permitted Typhus to leave. Some argue it was because the demon Primarch knew Nurgle's work would be done. Others, because he did not want to risk his legion being torn apart in civil war. Some have other, more sinister ideas, but none know for certain. over 10,000 years, Typhus has brought Nurgle's rot and the Destroyer Hive to countless worlds. 7 times 7 times 7 Tallymen have dedicated their lives to counting all the billions slain in his wars. Even with so many dedicated to the purpose, there are still 3,000 years of Typhus's conquest that are yet to be catalogued, with more needing to be tallied with each passing year. Though they might be listed as such, those slain by the Destroyer Hive do not stay dead. They rise, reanimated by the Chaos Infection. These unfortunates become plague zombies, and their bites or even groans bring the infection to those around them. Since the emergence of the Great Rift, empiric energies have mutated the zombie virus to form myriad hideous strains. Many new types of plague zombie now torment the Imperium, including rot shamblers and foul creepers, though leering poxwalkers are by far the most common. Their ambling hordes having swamped countless industrial conurbations, hive cities, and even whole worlds. Legion structure. In the wake of the Horus Heresy and the scouring that followed, the Death Guard remained remarkably intact. Maintaining a coherence many of their fellow traitor legions could not in that time of anarchy. Thanks to Mortarion's firm hand, the Legion retained its core structure in the millennia that followed, right through to the 41st millennium. Mortarion has maintained much of the structure the Death Guard had during the time of the Great Crusade and Horus Heresy. His legion still has 7 companies, though they are now called Plague Companies, each comprising many thousands of Death Guard warriors. The lords and demon princes that command each of these huge formations can call upon their own plague fleets, numbering scores of capital ships and escorts, vast armories of battle tanks, fighting vehicles, and super heavy assets. Menageries of foul demon engines, squadrons of gunships, and armies of mortal followers, millions or billions in number. They are supported by all manner of specialist Death Guard champions, including Foul Blightspawn, Noxious Brightbringers, Plague Surgeons, Sorcerers, Biologous Putrefiers, and Tallymen. It is not outside the skill set of some Death Guard lords or specialists to summon tally bands of demons of Nurgle out of the warp and into real space to fight alongside them. Mortarion and the mightiest of the Death Guard's lords have demon world domains, or even territories secured in real space, that they rule with cruel and grubby fists. The Lord Commander of each plague company is the sacred host to one of Nurgle's vilest diseases, and the sepsis cohorts that serve him are its most favored vessels. For all the Death Guard's nominal cohesion, The nature of galactic war means that the warriors of the Legion are scattered across thousands of war zones in different war bands at the whims of their lords, champions, and others. These forces, though they can vary enormously in size and composition, are all known as Vectoriums. They are uniquely named by their leader and adopt, or even manifest, a unifying color scheme that incorporates all manner of hues. Many Vectoriums draw their number from the same plague company, though this is not always the case. Mortarion is fully aware of the potential for sedition that arises among a legion that is widely spread. As one who turned against his own liege, he knows this better than most others. Thus, does he dispatch warriors of the Death Shroud to watch over his lords. They shield the favored, remove the dangerous, and persuade those who might consider treachery that it is not the path they wish to tread. Known also as the Pale Harvestmen, the Scythes of Nurgle, the Eyes of Mortarion, Those That Reap, and many other titles, they were once Mortarion's personal bodyguard. They are selected for their devotion, stubborn commitment to duty, and peerless warrior skill. And before Mortarion's ascension to demonhood, two were within 49 paces of him at all times. They are the most formidable warriors in the Legion. As unerringly loyal to Mortarion as they are immovable on the battlefield. The forces of the first plague company are Typhus's own. Their warriors are infused with shamble rot, the groaning, and biter's pox, all hideous variations of the planet-dooming zombie plague. The second plague company is known for its colossal formations of corrosion-encrusted battle tanks, and its warriors and vehicles bear the Ferric Blight, an affliction that mottles their armor with living rust that swarms the enemy. The third plague company are experts in devising cruelly ingenious siege defenses for their enemies to hopelessly dash themselves against. Their brothers carry the gloaming bloat, a plague of fever sweats that coats their armor and causes them to speak in wet gurgles. The fourth plague company are known for their numerous sorcerers who defy Mortarion's distaste for witchcraft. They are led by the Gestalt demon called the Eater of Lives and carry the Eater Plague, which is also known as Drizzle Flesh, Hawk Chewer, and the Endless Gift. The bowels of the Fifth Plague Company's fortresses and vessels are filled with chained demon engines eager to be unleashed. It is the duty of the 6th Plague Company to garrison the plague fleets and acquire more ships for their armadas. A great many Blightlord Terminators serve in their ranks, all riddled with the parasite known as the Droning. The 7th Plague Company are Dark Alchemists and Plague Brewers Supreme, blessed with the crawling pustulence, a contagion also known as boil blight, lumpen splatter, or Nurgle's fruit. There are many ways by which a warrior can join the Death Guard. Some are renegades from the Imperium, each with their own reason for giving their allegiance to Mortarion and Nurgle. Many of the Death Guard have been directly recruited by the Vectoriums since the ending of the Horus Heresy, with the Legion retaining much of its integrity and fleet assets, it has not lost the critical infrastructure required to create more Plague Marines. Worlds ravaged by toxins and contagions are scoured by the Death Guard, who take thousands of potential aspirants from the ragged survivors. The Plague Surgeons also make much effort to acquire the gene seed of fallen Death Guard warriors, as well as that of loyalist Space Marines they have slain. In the aftermath of the Great Rift's emergence, many Space Marine chapters were forced to leave their fortress monasteries poorly defended to wage countless wars, and heretic Astartes of all stripes struck in their absence, claiming what treasures lay within, or occupying them for themselves. These factors, combined with the Legion's supernatural resilience, have resulted in the Death Guard's numbers vastly increasing since the Siege of Terra. Few are aware, but Mortarion's goals for his Legion, since long before Horus turned against the Emperor, was for each of its companies to have 70,000 warriors. He has lost none of his ambition in 10,000 years. Plague Specialists. As the Space Marine Legions had specialist roles dedicated to certain battlefield, administrative, logistical, and strategic tasks, so do the Death Guard have their own warriors dedicated to specific roles. Each is a hideously diseased individual with his own dark desires, horrific duties, and putrid methods by which he helps the spread of Nurgle's many wonderfully baleful gifts. Many of the earliest plague surgeons were once apothecaries responsible for healing wounded battle brothers or bringing peace to those who could not recover. The Death Guard of the 41st millennium are so resilient they shrug off many of the wounds they sustain, and they can only be slain by the most devastating of weapon impacts. Thus, they have little need for traditional combat medics. Instead, tending to their fellow legionaries, the plague surgeons instead care for the diseases their brothers carry within their malformed bodies. A plague surgeon's body is also an incubator for countless strains of malady, phage, and disease, whether that be for boil surge, gangrene goop, the festering, rot lung, or scores of others. They offer their flesh and blood willingly to serve as nurseries for these contagions, and as a result, their very touch is virulently infectious, and each of their breaths abounds with toxic spores. Though no longer battlefield apothecaries, plague surgeons still carry the tools of their former trade, including diseased pocked reductors. As a result, they not only extract the mulch-like progonoids of their Death Guard brethren, but take special glee in taking those of fallen loyalist base marines. Whilst some of this is used to make new Death Guard, the rest is used for other unspoken, sickening purposes. Noxious Blightbringers come to battle bearing monstrous, hell-forged bells, the warped tolling of which heralds the coming of the Sons of Mortarion and the doom of their enemies. Every doleful ring sends splinters of madness into the enemy and leeches their mortality, all whilst lending an unnatural vigor to the Death Guard warriors that is at odds with their heaving bulks. The great bells noxious Blightbringers carry are known as Toxins of Misery, and are awarded by Mortarion himself only to the most corrupt and cruel of his sons. These Death Guard become living cankers who live only to spread misery and infection. They seek to force themselves amongst the enemy to crush their spirit utterly. Whilst every plague company has their own noxious Blightbringers, none have more than the third, who favor brutal meat grinder battles and grueling sieges. The dolorous toll of Toxins of Misery emits entropic shockwaves of despair, and defenders break all the quicker beneath their relentless chiming. Lord Gothax the Morose ensures that he is accompanied by 7 Blightbringers at all times, and the Putrid Choir and Dolorous Gnaw war bands never take to the field without 2 or 3 of these callous bringers of despair. Foul Blightspawn were originally warriors who most enjoyed watching the torturous suffering of those afflicted by Nurgle's plagues. Over time, their malignant cruelty manifests itself in grotesque physical deformities. Their flesh bulges with excess meat, pus, and bloating gas. Their eyes dribble from their sockets as black slime. Their mouths became fanged snouts. The stench that hovers thickly around them is so pungent, even plague marines balk at it. Through strange, empiric means, Nurgle's secrets sprout in their minds, making them totally absorbed with the practice of alchemy, the concocting of sickness. Those this has happened to are dispatched to the plague planet's disease factory by their lords and masters, where mechanical mixing churns are forced into their guts and incubatums are roughly sutured into their armor. They then learn to use Nurgle's secrets from the older Blightspawn within rotting laboratories, amongst vats overflowing with sickly liquids, and test subjects pickled in infectious fluids. The very oldest of the Blightspawn masters have grown so bloated with Nurgle's blessings, they resemble sentient fungi, taking root in the disease factory walls and feeding on toxic waste. After a period of time honing the crafts of virus breeding, malady broiling, and contagion brewing, they return to their vectoriums with batches of their latest work. At this point, they are ready to unleash their hideous creations in real space, where the number of test subjects is incalculable. When foul blightspawn bring their vile concoctions back to their warbands, the biologist putrefiers ferment and distill these creations to perfect potency, brewing even deadlier plagues and diseases and blending them into the Vectorium's arsenal. Putrefiers are avid learners who croak, gurgle, and wheeze their observations to the malformed slaves and demonic scribes who fill tomes of rotting parchments with their conclusions and measurements. A putrefier's ability to absorb information is staggering. They have lidless, milky eyes called oculopes beneath their skin that can see through armor and flesh to take in every nuance of a disease's effect on the infected. Little gives biologists putrefiers more pleasure than to test their contagions in battle. They rapidly identify all kinds of test subjects, whether they be weak, strong, brave, cowardly, resilient, feeble, fast, or slow. Using their injector pistols, they implant these targets of interest with their plagues. The results are extraordinary. Those afflicted will have warped maggots burst from beneath their skin all over their body, vomit swarms of demonic flies, witness their own flesh liquefy to putrid slime, or suffer any one of thousands of disgusting fates. Biologist putrefiers take samples from those who suffered the most fascinating deaths for future experiments. The blessed number of Nurgle is 7, known also as the integer infectum, the digit of disease, the toxorhythma, and the numerus virulentus. Mortarion is obsessed with it, as are many in his legion. With fervent repetition, ritual conjunction, and symbolic adherence, they channel the energies of their sacred numeral to beseech the Plague Lord's blessings. The tallymen are the preachers of this sevenfold doctrine. They are demagogues, priests, metaphysical scribes, quartermasters, and zealots. Their sermons are a purgatorial drone of counting, which they boom with their stentorian voices. As their name would suggest, the tallymen count. They count woes, shells expended, wounds inflicted, fleeing foes, victories achieved, losses suffered, and every other battlefield factoid. Always do they tally the number 7, and in doing so, they receive Nurgle's boon. As they chant, empiric power seeps into the souls of the Death Guard around them, congealing seeping wounds and strengthening rotting muscles. Outside of battle, tallymen are cloistered and secretive. Mortarion has entrusted them with the numerological codes that unlock hidden vaults where the Death Guard keep their most dreadful, viral, chemical, and radiological weapons. The tallymen are responsible for winnow flesh bombs, coal gene canisters, Sarathex torpedoes, and Nepithex cluster mines, to name but a few. all former Imperial weapons made even more lethal by Nurgle's blessings. Implements of Infection. To fight against the Death Guard is to fight warriors with the power of a bounteous god coursing through them. They bear the vilest of Nurgle's gifts, and with impunity unleash them upon their enemies, causing agonizing deaths and hideous injuries in an onslaught of all-consuming contagions and rapacious viruses, all of which can come from any number of vectors. The Death Guard have always been masters of biochemical warfare, and over the millennia they have combined their extensive stocks of chemical, biological, and radiological weapons within Nurgle's demonic gifts. They have an insatiable desire to brew ever more inventive diseases and maladies to unleash upon their enemies in the name of their disgusting patron. The vile liquids, toxic gases, and predatory infections they unleash are infused with empiric energy, making them all the more hideously potent. Inches thick armor plating can melt to sludge on contact with these noxious weapons. Air filtration and ventilation systems corrode and break down in seconds. Or worse, filter separating smog into sealed zones they were designed to protect. Gas masks and other rudimentary equipment are useless before them. The warriors of the Death Guard stride through the roiling miasmas of filth and disease as if it were a summer breeze, their every step bringing the grating clank of rustling armor. No matter what terrain they march on, sickening squelches emanate from their armor and vox grills. Fumes pour forth from their power packs and flesh-fueled boilers, adding to the already dense smog of diseased pollution. Some Death Guard giggle in manic glee as they advance, groan praise to Nurgle, or utter glottal battle cries, creating an ugly disharmony of wet gurgles, rasping wheezes, and stomach-churning retches from their pus-clogged respirators. For all this, they remain highly disciplined infantry, tactically astute, and skilled in all forms of warfare. Their unholy resilience means they are well suited for short-ranged firefights, where their relentlessness makes them all but impossible to halt. Whilst many Death Guard warriors carry corroded versions of Imperial weapons, such as bolt guns or plasma guns, other carry war gear more fitting to them as followers of Nurgle. Sorcerous venoms drip from their heavy, brutal-looking blades. Blight grenades detonate in sprays of infectious shrapnel, rotting spores, and septic slime. Plague spewers are highly effective anti-infantry weapons that vomit toxic deluges of infectious slop. When faced with heavily armored opponents, the Death Guard ready their blight launchers. The shells these weapons fire penetrate deep before their brittle glass cores shatter and release corrosive iron blight into bodies and hulls. whilst devastating infantry assaults have always been the bedrock of the Death Guard's way of war, Mortarion has always equipped his legion with the necessary armored assets to secure victory. Predator battle tanks and land raiders power through the swarms of flies and dense gloom, their pulsating, mutated hulls glistening wetly. Ravenous maws, writhing tentacles, and clusters of swiveling eyes protrude from their armored flanks. Inside, crew and vehicle often fuse together, becoming a single foul organism bent on inflicting slaughter. Demon engines are killing machines designed not to be powered by plasma or promethium, but by the empiric energies of a demon forcibly bound within a metal shell. The Death Guard maintain many manufactorums, from the Black Manse to the Scourge Stars and beyond, where infernal war machines are churned out thanks to the summoning works of the Dark Mechanicum and the Warp Smiths. Since the opening of the Great Rift, the Death Guard have amassed huge packs with frightening ease. Plague Burst crawlers grind inexorably behind the Death Guard advance. These slug-like artillery tanks are equipped with Plague Burst mortars, which they use to saturate target locations with their shells. Explosives that spread clouds of lethal spores amidst shock waves of fire and shrapnel. Those areas struck by such weapons become virtually inhospitable. But even in these forsaken lands, the Death Guard still walk unscathed. Crustacean-like defilers were first designed on Abaddon the Despoiler's orders, the War Master later handing over the Hexamechanica scrolls detailing their creation at Mortarion's demand. Those fielded by the Death Guard are stinking, pustule-riven monstrosities, and are accompanied by swarms of flies wherever they clatter. Ever-hungry, mephitic blight-haulers trundle over the battlefield on trios of articulated track units. Like ravenous wolves, they hunger for flesh, hunting their quarry and encircling them before making the kill. Strong, rusting armor and thick blubber grant them unnatural durability, and their foul stink causes enemies to retch and heave. Though capable of hunting alone, they readily form packs of three, known as trilobes. Foated bloat drones labor through the air on buzzing turbines, capable of navigating dense terrain. The demons that possess them are amongst the most aggressive, and some the Death Guard cannot trust with ranged weapons. These engines are equipped with frenetically whirring flesh mowers, which reduce their foes to puddles of lumpy slop. The cost and blood sacrifice to create these machines is immense, and the binding rituals are extremely hazardous. Yet they are ever popular with the Death Guard's lords. The Venom Mariners. Hailing from the 6th Plague Company, the Venom Mariners are vicious reavers, tearing across the void to plunder, make war, and spread Nurgle's blessings. They are expert marauders and void fighters, specialize in crushing raids and ferocious boarding actions, and have plagued vast swaths of Imperial space for millennia. The Venom Mariners are led by the warlord Gluther Skurvathrax, who followed Mortarion into treachery at the outset of the Horus Heresy. Even then, he was known for his skill in ship-to-ship conflict, and over the millennia, he has honed these talents even further, blending his deep knowledge of space warfare with the capabilities offered to him by Nurgle's gifts. Since Mortarion's return to the galaxy at large, Skurvathrax has ceaselessly prowled the void in his flagship, the Everbleed. Once a proud strike cruiser of the Death Guard, it has since been made unrecognizable. It has been bloated to twice its original size. The plate of its hull is swollen by sticky growths that pulsate and throb. Spore towers belch clouds of fecund waste into the void that can reduce Imperial Navy battle plate to slop. Forests of writhing flagelloids sprout on its flanks and greedily absorb warp energy leaking from the Great Rift. In grotesque laboratories, foul blightspawn and biologus putrefiers conduct experiments using whatever has been collected to concoct ever deadlier chemical weapons for the Vectorium. On land, the Venom Mariners specialize in ferocious, infantry-based raids, spearheaded by Plague Marines and Blight Lord Terminators, mounted in Rhinos and Land Raiders. They advance alongside numerous Lords of Virulence, who direct hails of pinpoint-accurate Plague Bursts mortar fire onto enemy emplacements on the move, ensuring that their advance is never slowed. They only strike where there is something they wish to take for themselves, or where they see Nurgle's blessings as being most needed. Once their goal is achieved, they withdraw as swiftly as they arrived. The Venom Mariners move from war zone to war zone, like a virus outpacing its victim's beleaguered immune system. For thousands of years, Skurvathrax has reaved unfettered, unleashed by Mortarion himself to seize hordes of weapons, ammunition, and fuel for the Legion's ongoing war effort. He enjoys the freedom such a war offers, and far from the accountability of his Legion's command structure, the vice of greed has festered deeply within him. It has not been uncommon for other Death Guard lords to view the Venom Mariners' marauding as lacking in the appropriate thoroughness. Their attacks are at odds with the Legion's attritional way of war, and even unworthy of Nurgle's notice. When he hears such criticism, Skurvathrax smiles through his three rows of black, razor-sharp teeth. He knows that he leaves no world he touches unscathed. It might be weeks or months before an attacked world realizes, but in their midst is an incubating infection. Only when the defenders have begun rebuilding their cities, reseeding their fields, and have become complacent do the first victims begin coughing up blood and the flies begin to drone. On many worlds, the Venom Mariners strike. They leave behind miasmic malignifiers. sutured to the planet's crust, far away from the eyes of the populace, to slowly infect the world. Corruption seeps into the ground from them even as they consume its nutrients, befouling it and pumping deluges of filth into the atmosphere. The Kim mining world of Pandaros 7, the Alkali ocean world of Kostos, and Adeptus Mechanicus xenobiologist enclaves on Therio have all been putrefied after their wealth has been plundered by the Venom Mariners. In Skirbathrax's view, his way of war brings Nurgle's blessings to more worlds quicker, and if the size of his plague fleet and the number of his vile mutations are indicators of favor, then the grandfather is paying him close attention. The Venom Mariners have spent long years fighting the Tyranids of Hive Fleet Skitalis in defense of the Nurgle-worshipping worlds known as the Vermidium. Here, the Vectorium maintains many of its bases, draws many of its slaves and recruits, as well as trades what it has taken during its raids. Vermidium is favored by a number of Plague Fleet captains that know of this enclave. Since the opening of the Great Rift, the region has blossomed, becoming a thriving hub of disease generation and virus incubation. Foul Blightspawn and Biologus Putrefiers exchange discoveries and lore to generate the most hideous of contagions before returning to the stars to spread them amongst both the willing and those ignorant of their need for Nurgle's embrace. Conflict has broken out on occasion among the various Death Guard Vectoriums that use Vermidium and other renegade warbands attempting to gain a foothold. The Death Shroud have swiftly quashed such events on Mortarion's orders and made hideous examples of the leaders involved. With the Tyranid invasion, all this activity is at risk, and the Sixth Company in particular has taken great pains to hold back the Xenos tendrils. The war has become a vicious arms race, as the Tyranids adapt to new viruses and diseases developed by the Death Guard to exterminate the ever-hungry aliens as swiftly as possible. For the Venom Mariners, this time of war has made them immeasurably stronger, for despite their casualties, they have brewed countless maladies made from the liquefying of whole Tyranid armies and mixing the resultant zoological goop with their existing stock of world-corrupting weapons. Whilst Mortarion himself has ordered the Vectoriums to share any and all developments to ensure the most efficient annihilation of the Tyranid invaders, Skirvathrax has kept many of his followers' most potent creations for his own. What he has planned for these, only he knows, though it cannot bode well for any who do not follow Mortarion, nor indeed for some who do. The Weeping Legion. The clot and filth-covered warriors of the Weeping Legion belong to the Fifth Plague Company, a most hideous and terrifying Vectorium. They terrorize the galaxy with their grotesque forms, merciless attacks, and formidable packs of hungry and foul demon engines, such as the mephitic blight haulers known as the carnal putriad. The weeping legion enters battle caked in reeking effluvia that continuously leaks from their never-healing wounds. As layer after layer of putrid filth and drying blood encrusts their armor, they only grow more resilient to damage. This condition is known by many as the sanguos flux, though in some circles of the Death Guard, it is known as the Everbleed or the Viscidit Scab Pox. Regardless of its name, those who bear it leave viscous, red-black trails behind them wherever they go. The Weeping Legion take immense pride in their disgusting resilience, so much so that they daub their numerous demon engines with the fluids that seep from their flesh. In doing so, they render these monstrosities even more durable, as well as barking out those particularly favored by them. Those that have served the Victorium the longest are coated in several inches of encrusted gore that has been carefully applied to them. Demon engines vary immensely in form, but all contain bound warp entities within their armored shells. The parasitic demons corrupt the vehicle's dark mechanisms and take full control of their functions. Many are so dangerous they must be chained up between battles, as they present a risk to any nearby. The Plague Marines and Terminators of the Weeping Legion have learned to work in tandem with their accompanying demon engines, and an unusually strong bond has formed between them. In battle, the Warband's infantry advance alongside hungering packs of mephitic blight haulers, giving the vicious beasts first pickings of the dead and wounded left over from the Warband's attacks. Like many other 5th Company Victoriums, the Weeping Legion also makes great use of foetid bloat drones. They take obscene delight in witnessing their enemies convulse and twist in the hyper-concentrated putrid sludge squirted all over them by these foul machine creatures' plague spitters. When flights of these spiteful demon engines hover over the battlefield, the warriors of the Weeping Legion gurgle wet cheers, knowing soon they will stride through fields of enemy dead reduced to rotted heaps of congealed contagious matter. Such is their desire to acquire more and more demon engines. The Weeping Legion have forged alliances with numerous sects of Dark Mechanicum, including the Trifold Blight Clog of the planet Rustmerk and the Mechanicankers of the planet Ironclot and the Putramects of the planet Malverde. The Weeping Legion regularly ransacks Adeptus Mechanicus research stations, capture Mechanicus vessels, or even assault Forge Worlds directly to seize technologies to offer the foul tech magi of these realms in exchange for their blasphemous wares. The Weeping Legion were among the Victoriums of the 5th Company that forced their way into an ongoing war between the beleaguered Imperial defenders of the Lorfax subsector and the orcs of Wah Cracktooth. Orcs and humans alike were infected in the billions with the sanguous flux, and the Death Guard attack vectors caused a three-way war between the Astra Militarum, Greenskins, and their own forces. The weeping legion led the spearhead into the Panfor cluster, accumulating victory after victory against the weakened greenskins and humans, taking countless thousands of slaves and dozens of Imperial ships for their own. But their fortunes turned. The Lorfax subsector is but a relatively short distance from the area of space in which the Necrons formed a contra-empiric zone of soul-crushing warp silence that the Imperium have christened the Pariah Nexus. A number of Xenos species have fled that cursed region, and those Death Guard forces too close have found the toxins and contagions they carry rendered less effective by the area's enormously powerful null effect. Now the Panfor cluster is not only inflamed with warring forces of the Death Guard, the Orcs, the Imperium, but with those of the fleeing Concord Equilibrium of the Manitade, the Coleopteran Givux, Denhir Warflox, and the disease-ridden Nuklavir. That there are now 7 military powers warring in the region has not eluded the tallymen of the Weeping Legion, who believe this is a sign from Nurgle that the Vectorium has been blessed. What is certainly true is that the biomatter of so many different species has yielded an impossible variety of gruesome contagions, virulent toxins, and fecund infections never before seen. A true tyrant, Vethoriac Seepspread commands the Weeping Legion with a fist of rusted iron. He keeps 3 trios of mephitic blight haulers as pets, all 9 kept in a semi-starved state so that when he needs to make an example of his foes and rivals, the demon engines are ravenous for flesh. On the plague planet, he maintains a huge dungeon called the Cyclopean within the fortress of the 5th Plague Company. It is home to thousands of bubo-covered slaves that slither, shamble, and crawl about their duties, whether that be constantly applying vitae to the fortress walls to make them stronger, or feeding prisoners and other unfortunate victims to the Vectorium's demon engines. In laboratories racked with decay and dark, twisted versions of apothecarians that reek of diseased mulch, plague surgeons, biologus putrefiers, and foul blightspawn work to brew ever more powerful infections and viral weaponry. When plying the stars to wage war, Vethoriac does so from the command throne of his flagship, the inexorable Giftbringer, a name that has been the harbinger of long, agonizing doom for many unfortunate worlds.